Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Born on December 31st, 1948, Miss LaDonna Adrian Gaines, a.k.a. stage name Donna Summer, was born. Passed away on May 17th, 2012, succumbing to cancer. This is the master plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. The chat room is open. We'll be back. We're starting this off with Donna Summer. Yes. I was growing up, when I was a teenager, Donna Summer was hot. All the brothers that I knew looked at Donna Summers and definitely thought she was a hot black woman. Believe it or not, she was born in Boston, MA, Boston, Massachusetts, to a devoutly Christian lower middle class family in Boston. A lot of singers. She got her chops, or displayed her chops, in church choirs before joining a band. Quite naturally, Donna Summers was a hot woman, and helped bring in the popularize the disco age with all her songs. I Feel Love, MacArthur Park, Hot Stuff, No More Tears Enough, Bad Girls. She works hard for the money, on the radio, Heaven Sent. You can go on and on. I'm telling you, if for the young listeners, for those who don't know the history of Donna Summers, just Google Donna Summers or go on YouTube and if you don't know the songs, if you haven't heard some of the songs that I've just said or you're not familiar, like I said, with Donna Summer, YouTube Donna Summer, just Donna Summer, and her songs will pop up there, and you just play one right after another, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's different type of music, the music brought in at the 70s and 80s, disco music, dance music, party music, and she was in the forefront of that. Also, she passed away, like I said, May 17th, but I'm not going to leave this guy out because he was a big influence also in the music industry. He was an American bassist, a session musician, a record producer, and a songwriter. For those who don't know who Donald Duck Dunn was, he played with notable artists like Booker T and the MGs. A lot of people say, who the heck is Booker T and the MGs? Well, this was he was a session bassist for the Stax Records. I encourage any young person that doesn't know what I'm talking about to is interested to Google Donald Duck Dunn. He played with the Blues Brothers. You've seen the John Belushi movie. It escapes me right now. Him and Dan Aykroyd, the Blues Brothers, I think that's the name of it. Was. Anyway, he toured with the Blues Brothers. He played with Muddy Waters, who happens to be a blues singer, Freddie King, Albert King, Levon Helm, Neil Young, Jerry Lee Lewis, Eric Clapton, Tom Petty, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Wilson Pickett, Sam and Dave, Guy Sebastian, Rod Stewart, Bob Dylan, Roy Buchanan, Steely Dan, and Arthur Conley. Now, I'm telling you, the ones that I'm naming off here are the spectrum of music. Country music, rock and roll music, blues, R&B, you name it, Donald Duck Dunn has done it. He's definitely was the type of guy that if you wanted to get some real serious music, you included him into your band to get the very best, because Donald Duck Dunn was the very best. So those two passed away within the last week. Donald Duck Dunn passed away May 13th, 2012. 4 days later, like I said, Donna Summer, who I played the first opening music with, passed away battling cancer. Unfortunately, Donald Duck Dunn died peacefully in his sleep, and the ravages of cancer took Donna Summer. Now, I played Hot Stuff for a reason, because the next swing I'm going to play is this. It has something to do with Donna Summer. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but it's going to lead into my next subject. This is what I'm talking about. I want to start this show off on this on a different tip. I'm talking about this guy from Knoxville, Tennessee, who has set a record. He set a record, people. Knoxville, Tennessee. This guy has 33-year-old Desmond Hatchett, a brother. Now, I hate to say it like that, but I got to put him on blast because he set a Knox County record down in Tennessee for his ability to reproduce. He has 30 children with 11 women, and 9 of those were born in the last 3 years. Now, 33 with 11 women. Now, and it's in one county. So apparently, these women, I would think, probably know each other at one point or another. But the reason I'm saying this is because he's back in the news this week because he's struggling to make ends meet on his minimum wage job. Now, he's got a minimum wage job. He's fathered 30 kids. And the reason why he's in the news now, because his inability to make child support payments on the salary also means he's back in court again and again, and most recently to ask for a break on those payments. Now, I'm almost at a loss for words here because I can't believe what's going on here. Is it this guy is to believe to hold the Knox County record for most children. He hold a similar record in most counties in the U.S., which might explain why news of his predicament was pinging around the internet on Friday. This is what I found out on it. I found out on Friday. The guy says the assistant supervisor of Knox County Child Support Clerk's Office says they've got several cases with Mr. Hatchett. I would think so. If he's got 30 kids, I would think if he's not paying his child support payment, he's got to have several cases. Excuse me. This assistant supervisor for Knox County, her name is Melissa Gibson, says she couldn't say whether any of his children receive public assistance. The youngest is a toddler. I don't know the age, but the oldest is 14. From what I understand, the guy knows all their names and ages and birth dates, not like Antonio Cromartie, who's got to struggle with all the names and ages. How he managed to end up with so many kids. Now, this guy Desmond Hatchett, twice, he's had 4 kids in the same year. Now, when he's working, he's required to turn over 50% of his wages for child support, which is the maximum allowed under the law. And the child support payments for those who have paid or are paying child support payments are based in part on the ages and needs of the children. So some of the mothers of Hatchett's children get only, now get this, and he's struggling with child support payments, and some of the kids of Hatchett's children, he's got 30 of them, $1.49 a month. $1.49 a month. You kidding me? And he's back in court because he can't keep up with the child support payments, or he needs a break in the child support payments, and some of them are only getting $1.49 a month. Now, I don't know who's the biggest dummy here. Who's the biggest jerk? And I'm calling it like that. I see it. This black man that's fathered 30 kids, 4 kids twice, in 1 year twice. You got 11 women out there that fathered a total of 30 kids from this guy. Who's dumber, the guy fathering these kids or the 11 women letting them get in between their legs and produce another kid out there? Now, you got to tell me this. I understand that, Black. You got to tell answer me this or tell me this. Where is the protection at? I don't care on whatever side, on the woman's side or on the man's side. Where is the protection? I mean, how ignorant can you possibly be, my brother? How ignorant can you possibly be, ladies, the 11 ladies that fathered all 30 of these kids? You got 30 kids. I don't know. You know, somebody's got to have at least a couple of them. There's 30 kids and only 11 women. So you do the math on that. I'm not going to do the math. You do the math. Oh, okay. I'll tell them that in a minute there, Black. Now, you do the math. You got, like I said, 30 kids, 11 children, I mean, 11 women fathering those kids. Where is the protection? You know, this is the problem we have in society when you get irresponsible, definitely an irresponsible Black man for one. That's why we get these stereotypes and we get labeled like this because we do stupid. And I'll say it. I hate to say it on a Sunday, but we do stupid shit like this. This makes no sense. And the brother, and I hate to say he's a brother, but he is a brother. Doesn't even have the sense to take it upon himself as a grown ass man to use some protection. 30 kids, now he's got to deal with that for the rest of his life. Now it didn't take into effect. He took into the fact that he got that feeling. They both got that feeling, man and woman. But what happens to these 30 kids now? 30 kids, I got one daddy. I got 11 brothers and sisters. Excuse me, 29 brothers and sisters, either from different mommies or from the same mommy. What do you think the kids going to think about that? What do you think they're going to think about, one, for them, about their mother, and another about their father doing what they did and producing almost a damn near you got a baseball team, damn near a football team. I don't know why he's going to stop at 30. I mean, he's 30, only 33. What's going on? At one point, he was told to stop. At one point, at the time, when he had 21 kids at the time, he when he was in court, he said he wasn't going to father any more kids. But he ended up having 9 more in the past 3 years. What, is he addicted to producing kids? I mean, come on. Come on, people. Right, Black, I think condom machine is in order. Let me put it that way. I mean, this guy should be, I don't know, I mean, I don't know if there's any law that you can put this guy in jail or you know what? I'm not a believer in castrating or sterilizing somebody, but in a case like something like this, maybe this brother needs to be taken care of one way or the other. And I know that sounds harsh, and I know it probably sounds harsh coming out of me, but. And when I see something like this, this puts a bad light on our people. Puts a bad light. Now I know this thing is viral. I know that it's all over the internet. I saw it on Friday, and I know a few people that know it already. That it puts a bad light on our people. That we're irresponsible, and dependent on society to take care of our kids. And take care of us. And this is not right. You need to get it together and handle your business. You haven't in the past, but you can change things for the future. You're going to have to live with what you've done up until this point, but somebody need to either show you the way or you need to find a way to change the way you've been living, because it's not right and it hasn't been right for a long time. 14 years old, the oldest one, the other, and the youngest is who God knows how it's a toddler. So God knows how why you've been doing this. So you've been doing this since you've been 18, 19 years old, something like that. Man, oh man. Where is the guidance? God bless us. Anyway, I wanted to get back to the. I just wanted to get that off my chest because I had to talk about it because the fact is it's disturbing to me that somebody could be so irresponsible like that on both sides. I'm not just talking about the man. I'm talking about the ladies, 11 ladies. And don't tell me any of those ladies didn't know about each other. And I don't care how good the feeling is. I don't care how good he's stroking it. You need to lock it up with a condom or just lock it up, period. Anyway, let's get back to some other type of business. I have watched a few games. Yesterday was the Spurs and the Clippers and the Thunder and the Lakers. Now, quite naturally, it's a ho-hum game. I think it's been a foregone conclusion, and it's unbelievable to me that the San Antonio Spurs have been so strong and so dominant. That's a good word, dominant in what they've been doing in the season and in the playoffs. And believe it or not, the San Antonio Spurs, in my opinion, have been flying under radar. The talk has been about a little bit about the Clippers, a lot about the Lakers and the Thunder, and then on the other end, it's been like Miami. It's been about the Celtics. It was a little bit when Knicks were first in there, and then about what's going on between the Indiana Pacers and Miami Heat. And the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. San Antonio has been flying under the radar, and they've been playing lights-out basketball. Tim Duncan has been revitalized this year. He's been playing like a young Tim Duncan. Tony Parker's healthy, and Ginobili. These guys have been playing lights out. They've been together for so long, along with their head coach. They know the deal. They've incorporated new players into their system and changed their system to a little bit more upbeat, up-tempo type of system, and they haven't missed a beat. They got younger, and believe it or not, they got stronger. But they've been flying under the radar. I mean, there's been talk about all these other glam teams and for years, even when they were winning championships, when they were winning championships, then San Antonio Spurs was not a glam team, not a glamorous type of team. They were a lunch pail type of team. That just goes to work, goes about their business, wasn't flashy about it. Just like what Duncan's name is, Mr. Fundamental, that's exactly what they were doing. Their head coach is a no-nonsense coach and believes in the fundamentals. These guys play defense and have a very good offense, and they get the job done for the most part night in and night out. They haven't won. They haven't lost a game in the playoffs, but nobody's really been talking about the San Antonio Spurs for the simple fact is that they're a nondescript type of team because other than really Tim Duncan, which is a big name, Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili are real good players, but Tim Duncan is the prime time player. Is the Hall of Fame type of player that when he gets finished with the game and he's eligible to go into the Hall of Fame, he will be there without a doubt. But Tim Duncan is not a flashy guy. Tim Duncan is a let me go to work. I don't want to talk to the press too much if I don't have to. I'm not about flashy cars, flashy clothes, flashy women. I'm not about that. I'm just a low-key guy, and that's how this team is reflected, as a low-key type of team, but they're deadly. They're deadly. They'll put a dagger in your heart or chest quicker than you can blink, if it means winning a basketball game. They have closers in this game. And I'm telling you this for a reason. Tim Duncan is a closer. Manu Ginobili is a closer. Tony Parker is a closer. These guys are not afraid to take the shot. Plain and simple, they're not afraid to take the shot. And the team is very unselfish that whoever is hot at the time, whoever is the man at the time, whoever has the right situation at the time is the one that's going to take the shot. And they have every confidence in the world because these guys have been together for so long. They played with each other for so long. And they respect each other for so long that any one of those three guys, unlike some others in the NBA, are not afraid to even take the shot. No matter if they miss it or not, they're not afraid to take the shot because it's all about winning. It's not about you. It's all about winning. That's the key. It's all about winning. If you want to win for your team, you won't be afraid to fail. That means you got to take the shot when it's available. Anyway, let me progress over to the the Lakers and the OKC. Speaking about taking shots. Now, fan is short for fanatic. And you can excuse some fans for being fanatical at times, but you can't excuse fans for being downright vicious and giving death threats and terroristic type threats to a player's family. Steve Blake, in the game three of the playoffs, in the waiting seconds, Steve Blake took a sideline jumper and three pointed to win the game for the Lakers, which he missed, and to the chagrin and disappointment of Kobe Bryant, he wanted it, but he wasn't in a position to take it, and the aftermath is absolutely horrendous. Death threats to the family, death threats to Steve Blake, terroristic threats because the fact is Steve Blake took the shot and missed the shot. Now, if he made the shot, they'd be loving Steve Blake. Steve Blake would almost have the key to the city. But being that he's, I wouldn't say he's a nondescript player, but being that he's not a name player, one of the stars on the team, he's just I wouldn't say fill-in, but he's just a piece, not like Kobe Bryant or Paul Gasol or Andrew Bynum. Steve Blake is basically a fill-in piece. He can make three-pointers if he's feeling it. At this point, he took the shot, and now he's getting vilified, and his family is suffering for it also, which is not right. It's not right. People out there, this is only a game. Only a game that's being played by guys that love playing the game of basketball and are making a living out of it. This is not life and death, and you're making it life and death when you talk about somebody's family and what you're going to do with them because a player on the team missed a shot, in a game. It's only a game. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's only a game. Give it a break. I know you're a fan. I can understand being a fan, but like I said, it's only a game. Anyway, getting to the game itself. Now, I talked about it on Thursday, talked about it on Friday, which that was before they played a game. I'm talking about Oklahoma City Thunder played the Lakers on Friday, and the okay stole a game because of Steve Blake missed a shot. Okay, he missed a shot. No problem. Okay? Well, now we go into, and I had said this, and I strongly felt it, that Kobe had to score another 40-something points. I said, This is what I said. I said if Kobe scores 35 points, they won't win the game. Well, I was just a little off. Kobe only scored 30. He scored 38 points, not 35 points, and they lost. Oklahoma won the game 103 to 100. So I said, and I also said this. I said if Kobe scores 35 points, they'll lose by half a dozen points. Now, if Kobe scored 35 points, which he didn't, you know, he scored 38. If he scored 35 points, I should be a Nostradamus, because if he had scored 35 points, which he didn't, but if he did, they would have lost by half a dozen points. They would have lost by six. Whereas he scored 38, they lost by three. So Kobe has to score over 40 points a game because of the lack of offense and the strength of the OKC offense that he has to be he has to score that many points, and they won't let him. Kobe will not score more than 40 points the rest of the series. That's not going to happen. They won't. He scored 42 and they won. Nostradamus, you're exactly right. He scored 42 and they won the game that he scored 42. I told you. I forget what day it was, because I'm on so many freaking shows, I forget day it was. But I know I said before this game that if he only scores 35 points, they're going to lose by half a dozen points. They lost by 3 points because he only scored 38 points. He has to score over 40-something points in order for the Lakers to win. The Thunder will not let Kobe score more than 40 points the rest of this series. And in that case, just like Stephen A. said, it's a wrap. Come Monday when they play, the Thunder is going to be waiting for the Spurs. I think the Spurs are probably going to wrap it up in short order in the next day or so, and they're going to start a great series with OKC and San Antonio Spurs. That's going to be a great series. I'm really looking forward to it. I had said on yesterday to when I closed out the show with Vic, to enjoy the playoffs this weekend, because I think I thought they were going to be a good series of playoffs, and I think that that is going to be that. And people who haven't or heard anything about or realize how good San Antonio is will find out when they play against Kevin Durant, Mr. Westbrook, and James Harden starting sometime next week. And Black in the chat room says KD hit a big three over world peace to seal the game that last night. That's true. And you're right. I'm looking reading what Black's saying in the chat room, saying they got a double team Duncan to win. I don't know about that. I think the bigs they have on the Oklahoma City Thunder can bother Tim Duncan. You're not going to completely stop him, but I think they can handle Tim Duncan in a nice way that will help the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't think I think the key to, and believe it or not, I think the key to beating San Antonio is not Tim Duncan. I think the key to beating San Antonio is Manu Ginobili. I think he's a difference maker. I think he's definitely a difference maker. He's the they seem to, like, they play a lot better when Ginobili is in the game. Ginobili can do a lot of things, things that Tim Duncan can't do, and things that Tony Parker can't do. And just like Black saying in the chat room, bench play is the key. You're absolutely right about that. I'm not a guy. I've watched playoff games off and on. the ones I think that are going to be halfway decent. I've watched Miami Heat play, and because I love to see a good laugh, meaning the Miami Heat and all their frustration and their all the gyrations and flopping and crying and everything else, whimpering. I like to see that because it just reinforces what I think about LeBron and the disease he's meted over that Heat team. But let me get back to San Antonio and OKC, which it sees it inevitable that they're going to be playing each other sometime starting next week. This is going to be a very good series. It's must-see TV. I'm going to be watching every game that I can possibly see, and I don't normally watch playoff games, but I think you'll be watching one of these two teams are going to win the NBA championship. It's just a matter of who's going to get the breaks in this team, because both these teams, in my opinion, are pretty evenly matched. Play intense defense. Have prolific scores on both sides. The bench play on both of these teams are very good. It's just a matter of who executes the best and who gets the most breaks. And that's going to be a must-see TV. So let's move on from the West to the East. People, you want good jokes? Do you want good jokes? Well, let me put it this way: the good jokes I'm talking about are the Miami Heat against the young upstart Indiana Pacers. Now, I've been saying Indiana, you have to make this an ugly game. You have to make it close. I've said that over and over again, and I'm not saying I know what I'm talking about, but I do know what I'm talking about when it comes to the Miami Heat. If you make the game close in the Miami Heat, they get SNS disease. And for those who don't know what that is, that's small nut syndrome. When the game gets tight and somebody needs to make a shot, somebody needs to make a quick decision, and the game is tight, and LeBron runs away from it. Dwayne's got the disease now when didn't have it before, but the LeBron virus has gone completely taken over that team, and it's completely indecisive type team now. Even affected the coach. Indiana is fearless, talking trash. I had said before the playoffs, I had mentioned this before the playoffs, it's around the league. It's definitely around the league. If you get the game close, LeBron shrinks when it's close. He's a front-running player. He can drive and dunk and highlights and on SportsCenter or NBA TV or whatever, and everybody calls him the king. When it's highlight time, when it's the team's up by 5-10 points, and in games, I should say five, when it's up by 10 or more points, and it's easy time, with no pressure on the Heat, LeBron is highlight time. Dwayne Wade is highlight time. If it gets close, you see the whole mindset change, the whole body language change, the whole facial expressions change because the fact they can't take the pressure. Front-running players like I've never seen before are on that Miami Heat team. They're going down. I'd be surprised if they come back and beat the Indiana Pacers. They won't win the championship like everybody thought they would this year. That's not going to happen. I'd be surprised if they get out of the East in order to get to the finals again. Because the fact is, on these NBA games, the further you go into the NBA playoffs, the tighter the games get, the smaller the margin of victory is. And when that, the smaller the margin, the smaller the nuts get for the Miami Heat. They can't take the pressure, meaning they won't win a championship. I see that as being a problem with them, and I think it's not going to change until they make changes, whether it's the coach, whether it's players. They have to make a change because it's happened with two teams now. LeBron was the man at Cleveland. Two things happened. He basically thought that they weren't going to make the moves, or that, and he didn't want to be the man to deal with all that pressure. So he decided to go to Miami Heat, or he wanted to go where he wouldn't be the man. He could blend in with his buddies, and hopefully have a better chance of winning the championship, instant championship. Now, I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it. I'm bashing. I seem like I'm constantly bashing LeBron James. Well, he needs to be bashed. I'm not the only one doing it. If you watch TNT with Kenny Smith, Shaquille O'Neal, and Charles Barkley, they say he doesn't have that gene either. They say that seems like they're shrinking away from, in my opinion, his responsibility. His responsibility is being the primetime player. His responsibility is being the king, the man, the chosen one. And he won't even attempt to take the shot and pass off to somebody else. You don't do that. You don't do that. The excuse before was he had nobody in Cleveland. Well, he had enough bodies in Cleveland to go to the championship. If he had a little bit more patience, there's a possibility that he would have had some more pieces around him to take him possibly to the championship, and to shake that I'm the man, I'm not the man syndrome. Well, guess what, LeBron? Guess what, Queen of Hearts? You decided to make a big thing about going to the Miami Heat, going to South Beach, playing up the Dream Team, playing up the Fab Three, or whatever way you want to call it, and all the bad publicity that you had with it. Well, it's not coming to light. I think you know that. You're asked to do something that's not in your makeup, and it probably will never be, because 9 years into the league, and you're still showing the same symptoms of that little SNS that I'm talking about, and I don't think it's going to change. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. It's 347-637-3220. I have a chat room open also, so if you want to lay some knowledge into the chat room, you can also do that. Black's in the chat room. He's been saying a few things here and there, and I've been relaying them to you. But we're talking about the NBA playoffs and how bad the prohibitive favorites in the East have been playing against the so-called lowly opponent of Indiana Pacers against the Heat, and the Philadelphia 76ers against the Boston Celtics. Understand, I had talked before that the Sixers, because the age of the Celtics and the age of the Sixers, there's a difference there. They needed to run up and down the floor. They didn't win the last game running up and down the floor. Well, let me put it this way. They played a lot of different ways to win the game and tie it up 2-2. I had said to the Indiana Pacers, I don't know why I keep on having problems. Every show I've been on and every time I've mentioned Indiana, I've been having problems pronouncing that name. Don't ask me why, but anyway, I said that Indiana needs to make the game ugly, make it close, because the fact is the Heat, especially LeBron, and now it's Dwayne Wade. They can't take close game pressure, and it's well known throughout the NBA. It's obvious, and that's what Indiana has been doing, getting the game ugly, making it a close game as possible, low scoring game, and that means it's a close game. That means the Indiana Pacers have a better chance of winning, and they're, because the fact is, they have the inside presence where Miami doesn't, because quite naturally Chris Bosh is in there and he's out indefinitely, and if he doesn't get back, and which I don't think he will, the Heat are in trouble. Because they don't have an inside presence that can deal with the bigs of Indiana. Getting away from that, the 76ers, I said they need to use their fresh legs. Well, they use the guile of they use the guile of Boston Celtics past to disrupt the play of the Celtics. Celtics were in control of this game in the first half. Come the second half, the 76ers decided to take it back old school, slapping, bumping, little elbow here, little elbow here, little shove there, to disrupt the play of the Celtics mentally and physically. And I had said before in the FSP show on Saturday, with Vic Gardner as the host, and I also said it on the No Chaser show, which is on Friday, with Mac Williams, which starts at 7 o'clock. And I also had said it on Thursday, which is the FSP Cruise show, with Black the host, Black the Bookie, and Jeff the Joker as the host, and me as the co-host, which is at 8 o'clock on Thursdays, These 76ers took it to old school, took it back to when the Celtics used to play the Lakers, when the Lakers and the Celtics used to play each other, whether in the regular season, especially in the playoffs, though, and especially when it was in the finals, Bird-Magic type of thing. They used to be very physical. The Celtics used to be very physical against the Lakers, because the Lakers was considered the finesse team, and the Celtics was considered the physical team, and that's the way the two played. Well, the 76ers did the same thing. The 76ers decided, you know what? Let's try this. We got to scratch and claw to get back in this game, and that's exactly what we're actually going to do. We're definitely going to take it literally, scratching and clawing one possession at a time, whether it's on defense or offense. And that's what they did. Took Kevin Garnett out of the game mentally because of the fact they were being so physical. And then it permeated throughout the whole Celtics team, which threw them off because they weren't expecting that from the 76ers, I think. And Doc Rivers said it after the game. He couldn't believe that his team, his veteran team, his team that won championships before, didn't see this coming, didn't realize when it happened that they couldn't react to it and understand what was going on. This is his words. He said, "What did you expect for them to do? To scratch and claw? This is nothing new." 76ers were down at halftime, and they came out being physical, extremely physical, and the refs let them get away with being a little bit more physical. And it produced a solid win for the 76ers, 92-83 on Friday. That's a nice win, 9-point win when they were down. Excuse me. When they were down at the at halftime by a substantial amount, they were down 46-31, and they come back and win the game by 9 points. That's an impressive win. excuse me. We'll see what happens today, because today is a very pivotal game, quite naturally. It's game five, and it's going to be played in Indiana. Talking about the Sixers, there's two games that are going to be played. Sixers are going back to Boston to play the Celtics, and they're tied 2-2. This is going to be a war. We'll see how the calls go, because the Celtics at home. We'll see how the calls go for the Celtics, or they're going to continue to go for the 76ers. In my opinion, the 76ers, this is a game, where you make it a track meet. This is a game, as the series goes on, these old legs of the Celtics are going to start wearing down more and more. This is the game you make it a track meet. You run these guys to death. The only one you can't run to death would be Rondo. But all the other guys, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, who suffered from a knee problem, Ray Allen, these older guys, they can't run up and down the court the whole game. You got fresh legs. You run them till they can't run no more. That's what you do. You run them till they can't run no more. Anytime you get a chance, you run. You keep running. Don't stop running. Run it until you don't stop. Run them until the wheels fall off. You got plenty. You got the starting five, plus you got a bench, a young bench. You can just run these guys. This is the time you do it. You got it tied up 2-2. You need a win in Boston to close this series out. This is a pivotal game for the Sixers, because if they can win this game and wear the Celtics down running, going back to 76, going back to Philly, up 3-2, and you're at your home court, pivotal game. Get it done, Iguodala. Get it done, Elton Brand. Get it done, Holiday. Get it done, Turner. Get it done, Allen. You can do this. Don't succumb to the Boston. Don't succumb to Boston, and think that just because and consider this a moral victory, you are two games away of going to the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. You can do it. Trust me, you can do it. I think you can do it. On the other hand, on Sunday, that's the Monday night game, which is at 7 o'clock on TNT. And then the other game on Monday night would be the Lakers and the Thunder. And the Lakers are in serious trouble, down 3-1, going to Oklahoma. Oklahoma is going to close that out. I had said that before. Let's go to Sunday. Sunday, the Heat is in Indiana. Indiana, you're up 2-1. You are up 2-1. This is a huge game for you. Huge. You do the same thing you've been doing. You grind it out, dominate in the middle, in the paint with your big guys, frustrate LeBron James, frustrate Dwayne Wade. Do not let these guys get off. They love to drive the basket. You have bigs to stop them. Do not let them get off. You're at home. Go up 3-1. You got a game to play with in Miami. But you want to go up 3-1 at home. That game's at 3:30 on ABC today. Then we finish it off today at 10:30. We got to wait about 4 or 5 hours before the next game, which is on TNT, 10:30 p.m. The Spurs versus the Clippers. Clippers, I don't know what to tell you. You're home. You can try as you might. I think there's just too much of Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, and Manu Ginobili. I really believe that these guys are multiple championship veterans. They know what it takes to win in the playoffs. You guys have just gotten to the playoffs, for the first time in God knows how long. I know you got Chris Paul. I know you got Blake Griffin, but you're going to need more than that to deal with these guys. So with that being said, the Spurs are going to be waiting a day or two, or whatever amount it takes, and resting up to go against the Oklahoma City Thunder sometime later in this week. With that being said, we come to the conclusion of the master plan. I started this show off with Donna Summer. I'm going to end it with Donna Summer. But before I do that, I want to thank you for joining me. Thank you for the participation by Black in the chat room. I also want to say God bless Donna Summer for all she has done. God bless Donald Duck Dunn for all his great accomplishments in the music industry. There were two definitely different people, but two definitely big name peoples in the music industry that we've lost within a week. Tune in on Tuesday for the Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. This is the only show that's completely off the other radar of our other shows. She has a very enlightening show. You should tune in at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And then we can progress to Thursday, which is the FSP Cruise Show. I'm the host, JT. They call me JT Money. Also with Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker, we may have a host. Look us up on Facebook. We'll be posting any guests on Facebook. That starts at 8 o'clock. It's an hour show from 8 to 9, and then you can do whatever you want to do after that. But tune in. And then we have a new show, second time going around this week. The host is Mac Williams. I am the co-host. The name of the show is No Chaser. We give it to you straight with No Chaser, and that's the way we like it. And then on Saturday, it's the mothership, the fathership, I say, whatever. It's the one that started it all, Vic Gardner, who hosts the FSP show. I co-host that also, so you get me Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then on Sunday is the master plan. I am JT Money, the master. Starts at 10 o'clock, ends at 11 a.m., just like we're doing it today. This is what we do, when we do it, and how we do it. Like I said, I want to thank those who participated in the chat room, Black being the one who did the most chat, and I appreciate it. I'm going to end this like I started it. I started it with Hot Stuff, with a tribute to Donna Summer, and I'm going to end it with Bad Girls with a tribute to Donna Summer. Till the next time we meet, I always say this, I'm going to say it again. Life is a sphere. What goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, he can pull you down. You never know who you will keep in the future, so be careful how you treat people. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Peace be with you. Enjoy your week. I'll be talking to you in the future. We're out.